This episode of TechPod is brought to you by SolarWinds IT Trends Report 2021, Building a Secure Future. Read how tech pros perceive their organization's risk management and mitigation readiness after a year of rapid transformation fueled by the pandemic. Visit it-trends.solarwinds.com.
William Hurley, or Whirley, as he prefers to be called, is a philanthropist, entrepreneur, and open source advocate whose work at Apple, IBM, and in the area of quantum computing is world-renowned. Picking up where we left off in the first part of our conversation, Whirley and I explore a range of topics, everything from the state of the tech industry in Austin, to career advice for those just starting out, as well as those who've been around the knock a few times, to things that Whirley wishes people would ask him.
One of the things I like to ask all of the guests, especially the folks who are experts in the field, about when they come on TechPod is some career advice and insights. Now, you've been around the block a couple of times. What advice do you have for young professionals in the tech and design industries in general? You know, if they're sitting or listening to this and they're thinking, well, I wonder what he thinks we should be doing or I should be working on. Like, what's your advice for that?
To work on your core competency, right? You know you're a designer, you know you're a developer, whatever. Everybody is genetically disposed to be a little better at something, in my opinion. It's what makes the world go round, right? Like, I am not the greatest physicist or mathematician. I am not the greatest developer, right? Everybody has different skills. But as far as areas of interest, I think robotics is finally coming into its age. I think biohacking is coming into its age. You know, quantum, I would suggest. The number one thing we know everybody's into and is all about is space, right? I mean, you watch a SpaceX launch, and you watch, I'll never forget with my kids watching the two rockets return to their pads and successfully launch. And you're just like, that's something 10 years ago you saw in a science fiction movie. That a person that works in, and I remember seeing a movie, I can't remember the movie, where the rockets came back down like that and landed like that. And we're at the movies with a friend of mine who builds rockets. And he's like, rockets don't work. There's no way that would happen.
No way that's ever happening.
Right. And then 10, 12 years later, you're watching it on YouTube, right? And a live broadcast. Like, so, again, the biohacking's cool. I'm loving that robotics is, because robotics has had a rough time, right? Boston Dynamics has been bought and sold like a dozen times or whatever. But I think that's all coming in. You saw the Tesla bot. That's a big deal. Elon's not a fan of AI or robots. Not a fan, but he has concerns. So seeing him be the guy to be like, I've built a robot, you can easily overpower it, which I thought was the funniest part of the presentation. I loved it.
Yeah, we can't have Skynet happening here.
Right. So that, the biohacking, all the entries, but space. I mean, I'm doing quantum because I think it helps us fix this planet and get to others, right? And so to me, quantum is the sexiest thing because you want to go to Mars, you're going to need a lot of new material science. When you get there, you need all that stuff. And by the time you're doing that, that's about when these computers start really getting useful for that. So, I'd love to put quantum on Mars, that'd be amazing. But I think that this is really, really kind of the best time to be alive in the entire world, right? Think about when we were kids. You're 54, I'm 50. We had to used to cut things out of a cereal box, UPC codes, and put them in an envelope and physically ride your bike to a post office, where you mailed a physical email. And then you waited 12, 16 weeks, 18 weeks to get like the first piece of electronics of a set of 15. And most of the time, you probably never got them all. But when you got them all and you built it, it's like, look, you're listening to this podcast, you have a credit card, you have Amazon, you have AWS, Apple will fund your computer for $34 a month. There's literally, you can put together more power than NASA had, okay, to go to the moon with your iPhone. Do you know what you can do with a new iMac and phone and AWS setting up, Elastic account and having databases, having monitoring some places like SolarWinds, just click, 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 boom. Now you still have to have an idea. You have to execute on it. You have to do it. But I mean, come on, the barriers to entry to starting a company, to getting into tech, have never been lower. And I think that's just makes it the most incredible time to be alive in the history of humans.
It's amazing. And again, for the young folks who are just getting into this, that's, setting a direction like that, making it a possibility is important. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got, gray or at least lighter beige beards, folks who've they've been in technology for more than 15 minutes, and they may want to know what opportunities in quantum computing might be available to them. You know, if somebody like you or I, somebody who's in their, you know, 30s or 40s or 50s are thinking, you know, this is exciting, but here I am, like, what can I do?
Well, a ton of stuff. I mean, look, quantum computers to me are going to start by having all the problems that mainframes had. So actually, guys a little older than us probably have more, they know where all the bodies are buried, so to speak, right? You know, the ladies that have been programming COBOL forever, you know, you sort with a bunch of ladies that program COBOL at BMC. You're not going to use those things, but knowing your history, knowing the problems with scale, the issues with all, this is so valuable. And so, you know, I think it's a great time. For young people, don't just do quantum. Do as many things as you can, as fast as you can, until you find that one that just comes so naturally, so easily, that you can just knock it out every single time. And I promise you can do that. For me, it's starting and building companies, right? I did a mobile company, I did a finance company, we did a gaming company, we're doing quantum. That's the thing. And I just love learning with new technologies. And each time you see me do something, it's going to get more and more, you know, outrageous. Although I will say that here in town, the ABJ, and I have it on my wall here, wrote a, they did a nice cover story when we launched the company. And the front page says, Worley's way, way out there on this one. And then the inside says, Worley's, quote, strangest startup yet. And I was so happy with it. And then I realized, I don't know that that's meant to be as flattering as I took it at the time. It's like, it's kind of like, hell, he had a great entrepreneurial career, guys. We don't know what he's doing. He's lost his mind. He could have been a loony bin.
So, hurdles are gone. Right?
So I think the thing for young and old people alike, it's take the chance. It's get out there and do it. And if anybody wants to know about getting into quantum computing, like I said, it can take a hit me up on LinkedIn, right? Go to LinkedIn right now, linkedin.com/in/Worley, and add me. Shoot me a tweet, follow me on Twitter, do whatever. I will get back to you. It'll take forever. And I'm probably not the right person to help you, okay? But I am more than willing to connect you to the community I've built, to the team, to all the right resources, because I'd like to see us get 1 million people in quantum in the next year or two. And I can tell you we're not going to be at, you know, 10,000 probably.
Right, exactly. Okay, so I want to get away from the hype and the hoopla and the tech funnel stuff and stuff like that and ask you some questions that hit hopefully a little closer to home. First of all, I want to hear about EQUALS, which is the Global Partnership for Gender Equality in the Digital Age. Tell me some about what that project is and your involvement in it.
So I got really frustrated with women in tech because tech is definitely super male dominated. And I know a ton of women that are database developers, that are programmers, that are physicists in the space right now, you know? And so years ago, I partnered with UN Women and the UNITU to create EQUALS. And it's now called EQUALS in Tech. They've had a slight name change over the 6 years. And the idea is to bring men and women together to work on the issues and the challenges that are faced by females and other people now coming into the technology space or dealing with it. So that could be anything from mentoring groups to we have an award ceremony for women that are doing awesome things for other women in the space. There's you know, hundreds of organizations around the world that are now partners with that. So it's super, super exciting. It's been great. Doreen Bogdan, who is the first, one of the things that came out of it, Doreen Bogdan, who is the co-founder in it, was the first woman elected to a position in the UNITU in 153 years. In the ITU, there has never been a woman elected. And so it's making impacts like that. Doreen, obviously, with that position, has been making tremendous impacts. It's really kind of her show at this point. My job was, out of frustration, I found an opportunity to bring everybody together, to fund it, and to kind of organize it and kick it off. And it's been great to be around, but it's grown so far beyond me. There's so many thousands of incredible talented women in tech and entrepreneurial minded that it's just like, and that's how it should be. But the reason I had a problem was I hate people say it's a woman physicist or a woman engineer. We don't do that with other people, right? Or at least the people I don't know anybody who says, oh, he's a black engineer or an Indian developer or whatever. They just say he's a developer, right? dude, she's an engineer. She's a physicist. She went to 12 years of school. She's not a woman physicist. She's just a physicist. She has a PhD, right? Like, you know, and so those are the kind of things that frustrated me. And then of course I'd already been working with some women startups, things like that. And kind of equals came out of that interest. And like I said, Doreen's baby, and she's done an incredible job of growing that organization over the past few years. And it's exciting. I've you know, moved on my focus to expand it. I will be working on women entrepreneurs. So we have a fund here in town called Ecliptic Capital. It's about $100 million fund with my old partner from Apple, Mike Irwin. And one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at how we can help women entrepreneurs. And I am working on something for women entrepreneurs that is very much like Equals, but for everybody right now.
Very nice. Very good. Okay. We've mentioned, we've name checked Bob Metcalf a couple of times. He was actually a guest on TechPod not that long ago. And I want to just ask you, what do you think Bob's legacy in the tech world is going to be? And also, what do you think it should be? You know, because a lot of times the things that we get known for and the things that people like, you all miss this one thing that he did. So I'm just curious about your view of that.
So this is an easy out. So Bob and I are going to spend all day tomorrow talking about that.
Perfect.
So he's gonna pick me up about 1:30. We're gonna go to the UT game. So I would love to look from Xerox PARC to founding 3Com to Polaris Ventures to all the stuff at MIT to the Presidential Medal of Technology and all. I mean, Bob's resume is unmatched. He's gonna be known for 100 things. To millions of different people, right? And Ethernet, of course, right? Like, you know, and I jokingly throw that one out. but the thing is I think he has big plans. Bob is not done. I think you're going to see some exciting things. I think he's in a little bit of a quiet period. And I believe the next thing you see Bob do will be the thing that he really wants to cement as his legacy. But I'm going to respect his privacy on that. And I'm going to hear about tomorrow. And then, you know, I'm probably going to quit Quantum and go to work for Bob. You know, he'll hate that I say this in the interview, but he's like a father. And I mean that. And to Bob, I'm like the child he never wanted.
Right. Yeah, I understand that feeling. I have had that effect on people myself. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so I have to talk about CERN, and I honestly could just listen to you talk about CERN all day long, but I have to know, where do Ziggy and Scott Bakula, like, what part of the facility do they stay in? Like, do you get to see them a lot?
I'm pretty sure that's the antimatter lab. I'm not sure, but I think it's the antimatter lab.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. I've only been in there a couple of times.
I just, you know, getting to hang out in CERN is sort of just a dream of a lot of folks. And like, what's that like?
You know how people say never meet your heroes? I'd say never idolize places like that, because there's a lot of hard work going on there. And a lot of stuff. First of all, to me, it's one of the greatest places science-wise on Earth. I love working with them. My main role there is I help start a program called CESS, which is a CERN entrepreneurial student program. So we fly master students from around the world over there to live on campus for 5 to 6 weeks and do tech transfer. So they get to pick through all the cool tech from CERN and they try to build a business around it. Or sometimes they have their own ideas and see where people and tech at CERN could help them. And so that's super exciting. But it's a fascinating place to go. And I've actually been down in Atlas and all these different things, the Large Hadron and stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's like, whoa, magnets. And I have a little awesome device that measures radiation. And every time you go in some of those rooms, they scan you, and then you go and they scan you to come out. But it's probably just the most wonderful. This is the number one thing about CERN. The most wonderful group of people in the history of the world. I mean, I absolutely love and adore every single person I've met there. You have people that are in the business side. I'm working with this wonderful woman named Pascal now. She's helping lead the stuff that Matteo before her had done with all the entrepreneurial and outreach and fundraising, things like that. And just like, you know, you talk about a transition a lot of times in org, it can be really rough. It was so simple. Like the three of us got together and they both like working together. And, you know, it was a smooth handoff and so many fascinating minds there too. I mean, you're talking about literally some of the brightest minds in physics all on this one campus. And it's like, if you go to any campuses or departments, engineering, and you go to MIT or CMU or whatever, you know, and you're like, whoa, this is great. They have like 30 of these people. It's like there are hundreds of those people all in that one space. And it's unparalleled in the talent that it attracts, right? It's a global set of talent from around the world working with some of the most advanced stuff that we've ever done as a species. It is everything you said. And I could just ramble and ramble about it. I was just in Geneva a couple of months ago to meet with them on campus. And I absolutely love it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you if I have it right here, because we missed the first interview. So this is a great place to set this out. So I have a little bag from CERN here. And in this bag is a little something I got for you. I got one for each of the people working on the interview, which is a little CERN TITAC lapel pin kind of thing.
The geek cred for that is going to be insane. And the program that you mentioned, for young entrepreneurs, I guess the question is there an age limit? I mean, I imagine there's going to be some people who are not so young.
So that's a great question. So they're master's students, right? So they already have master's students from around the world. So mainly all the programs I work with, and I am starting a program for kids, but all the programs I work with right now in science and technology entrepreneurship are all master's students or above. So like I'm teaching entrepreneurship at MIT at the Legatum School. Those are all master's students, right? They're Legatum fellows, right? At CERN, it's basically the same thing. They're already, and some of them are postdoc or working on their doctorate. So right now that seems to be the level in science and tech where organizations are willing to invest in those people, right? And I'm trying to push it down. I want to push quantum. I want to encapsulate quantum between CERN and the baby's book and everybody in between, right? I want to help high school students and college, right? You know, that's kind of my passion and that's my mission, is to make this industry real, but also to make sure it's evenly distributed as possible and a ton of people can be, you know, engaged and involved.
And we who do not yet have our master's degree, although I will be filling out my application shortly, really appreciate you lowering the barrier to entry. That's really...
I don't have a degree, so it's kind of ironic and ridiculous that I'm doing any of this myself. So.
I think it's, if nothing else, it's heartfelt. There's somebody who said that, you know, if you walk into a room and you feel like there was nobody there to help you be in the room, then your job is to become the person you wish you had met when you walked into the room. So...
That's right.
You know, this is your opportunity to try to be that bridge. We had talked obliquely about Bob Metcalf, and I want to ask the same question of you, and you can be just as cagey if you want. Now that you've mastered quantum computing, what might possibly come next?
Quantum is a long journey for me. I like to joke that the first company was for fun and profit. The second company was to be that ethical entrepreneur, which we all know is not true. This company needs to be a catalyst. We're not going to win Nobel Prizes for quantum computing, but somebody might for finding a cure to a cancer using a quantum computer and our platform, right? We're not going to win any, you know, great financial platitudes, but somebody might make economic mechanisms that make the world economy function better or fix the environment, or the list goes on and on. So for me, I hesitate to say it's my last startup. I do know the name of the next one, and I know what it does. But more than likely, given my our advanced age, I don't make that one. So you know, what's next for me is helping entrepreneurs in tech. So everybody that wants to reach out, feel free to reach out. I'm going to be launching a new website in early 2022 with a bunch of free tools. I'm tired of people trying to take advantage of young people, especially. Who want to start their own company and do stuff. They're like, that's great. Let me be your partner and investor. And now I own 60% of your company, or let me do this. And so that dovetails nicely into the work I'm doing with Mike Irwin and Adam Littman at the fund. And that works, you know, with everything else I want to do. Entrepreneurship is passion. Obviously tech is as well. And so I'm just going to try to marry those two and help every entrepreneur in tech or with tech that I can. So if you're interested in entrepreneurship and your idea is not tech, it's something brick and mortar, you're opening a farm, selling soaps on Instagram, whatever it is, I'm still happy to talk. And there's ways tech can be applied that you can leverage tech. So, you know, I think tech is obviously ubiquitous in everybody's life now. And because of that, I think this is the path for me. Still may do another startup, still reserve the right to change my mind, but I've already set forward on this path for 2022 to be the year. You know, shoot, if I can get TikTok to give me the Whirly handle, which apparently nobody has, but is also not a valid username, which has stumped me for weeks now. You know, I might even start, you know, TikToking, as the kids say, about all the hip entrepreneurial mojo or something. I don't know. That's probably not how anybody on TikTok talks.
There, well, probably not, but that's okay. You'll be the first or the last or one of those. Yeah, my kids have already banned me from anything TikTok-y at all, but I might. I also might refuse that restriction. I want to kind of move into a lightning round. The first question I have is actually the question that is left unasked. You do a lot of interviews. You talk to a lot of folks, South by Southwest, a lot of other places. You've got, you know, YouTube videos all over the place. But what question do you wish you had more of a chance to talk about? What do you sit there at the end of the interview and think, but no one ever asks me about this thing that I do or whatever? Like, what's left on the table?
So when I'm talking to young entrepreneurs or young people in tech, they always ask questions that are about me to warm up to me to get to a question they want to ask. And so it's not like the thing I wish people would ask me. The thing I wish people would ask me is, what the hell do you want? Like, I want to help entrepreneurs. I'm literally dedicating huge amounts of time and resources to do it. It's okay to ask me, hey, I got an idea and I think you should fund it. I'm happy to tell you no. It's okay to ask me, would you do this? Would you do that? But the thing is that people send so many times, oh, how did you end up being called Whirly? Or what about this company? Or what about this, you know, selling to Goldman Sachs or building this for Jobs and Murdoch at the Daily and at Chaotic Moon or whatever. They never get to the question they want. When somebody comes to me, I already know. I'm seeing thousands, tens of thousands of these a year. I already know you want one of three things. Right? You want advice to get you out of an entrepreneurial situation you're in, or if you're a tech person, you're probably a developer and you want advice on your career. Okay. Number two, you want funding. Okay. Or you're a tech developer and you want a job or funding. Right. And number three is they want to know, you know, can I be basically their business partner? Right. Like, all conversations end up with good news. I think I got room for you on the ship, to which I have to say, oh, no, no, no. It's like, you know, entrepreneurs in that phase are like Indiana Jones and Miriam when they're dumped down in the snakes, right? And I'm more like Belloc, and I'm like, right. No, Dr. Jones, I am perfectly fine up here, right? So it's, you know, it just get to the question you want to ask. Like, life is too short. You can go on Twitter and criticize a president or a member of royalty or your company, or you can form all of these things online, do that, but you're finally going to get the 30-second interaction and you're going to spend it asking me about me, which, one, I've been asked about and I hate talking about myself and I don't want to do it anyway. And two, you're never, you know, right when you're going to get to your question, you know, somebody's going to come up and be like, hey, we've got a 4 o'clock. We got to go now. Right. So, you know, that's just ask the thing that you want. Don't ask about me. Tell me about yourself. Don't ask how I was successful. Tell me what's preventing you from being successful. Don't ask me about how I'm going to fund my company. Ask me how I might be able to help you network or get in the right deal flow at a VC or whatever to fund your company. That's what I really want. That's what I really wish.
Got it. And is there a place that you have these, that you've answered these questions before? Is there something that you can reference? Or is that really, that is the conversation?
That is a conversation. And also, that's, again, early 2022. I'll launch a new website on whirly.com, but I'm already doing this on LinkedIn and stuff. And I'll be giving that advice. Part of the reason I'm going to use TikTok, if I can get that name, which I don't understand why it's banned. I'm at this point just curious. Is that like, is Whirly a bad phrase in Chinese? Or like, well, I don't understand why it's enough character. I'm like, why does it work?
Okay, so TikTok, but, if you're listening, give them the handle already, right?
Yeah, please. Come on, help me out. But one of the things I'm going to do is, I love how people can stitch things in TikTok. So I'm going to ask everybody to find me on TikTok and ask a question, and I'll stitch in an answer, right? Or reply, give me a situation, you know? And so that's, so yeah. So I think Twitter, TikTok, probably the two channels I'll use the most for that. And then on the website, I'm planning on releasing every single thing I know about being an entrepreneur. I'm basically going to try to open source entrepreneurship in VC, right? That's the next, like, philanthropical project for me, is to just open it so that people are like, oh, I get it. It's not complex. I know how term sheets work. Oh, I know not to assign something that says this. Oh, I can go set up an infrastructure or use this tool to start a company or whatever the case may be. So I want people to ask me the thing they want to know, and I want them to ask me publicly, and I'll answer them publicly. Because the other thing is every entrepreneur thinks they have this clever idea, and he or she are the only person ever thought about it. And the fact is, especially now that I'm part of a fund, I will see whatever your secret idea is. I've either already seen it, or you'll be the first, and I'll see it another 100 times. Ideas are literally a dime a dozen. They're not even a dime a dozen. They're like 1 million ideas for a dime, right? And the thing is execution is everything. And execution is not about talking about starting a company. It's about doing it. It's not coming and piling up to me. You know, I had a person at an event recently in France. I spoke at VivaTech, talked to me for 5 minutes. That's all I had. Asking me all these questions, never told me anything about themselves, took a picture with me, tweeted it out, did everything. And then I was like, I got to go. And they're like, I'd really like to connect to you. And it was like, that was the chance. Like, we're never going to see each other again. You can email me. Like, here's a card. Try. But it's like, you know, that was the moment to strike while the iron's hot. And by the way, I may not even be able to advise you or help you, right? I mean, I'm just a person that, as you put it, the first of the thing, I believe that everything's about luck and timing. And I believe that I'm really good at timing and somehow have found a way to manufacture luck, right? And so, you know, yeah, smart. Yes, I'm successful. There are a million people smarter than me who aren't successful for whatever reason. There are a million people more successful than me, not that smart. Just be you. Anybody listening to this podcast can do this. They can do it on their own. They don't even need me, but I'd love to help if I can. I don't want anything for the help. I just want to see entrepreneurship in technology become this new great equalizer. And as we go through big changes like quantum computing, I want to see everybody have a level playing field to try to get in on that and that be their thing. Or robotics or DNA-based computers or whatever fanciful thing comes next. These are on-ramps to what's next that people need to take better advantage.
Incredible advice. Thank you. And on behalf of the audience also, thank you. Since this is the lightning round and I can pull anything, is there a tech and trend that you really wish would just stop? Like just wish would
blockchain.
Was that?
Blockchain.
Yes! 100%. Yes! The crowd goes wild!
First of all, there's no blockchain like the internet. Everybody says that. Oh, it's on the blockchain. No. All of you idiots have just created your own little ledger systems, right? I was hired by a company to prove blockchain didn't work. A CEO at a very large publicly traded company made a really big mistake and was like, really? Prove it. And I go, great. Let's make a bet. And I paid someone in Africa to take a conflict diamond and put it in the beginning of a blockchain. It went all the way to a store in New York. And it's like, it doesn't make things infallible. Computing 101, garbage in, garbage out. And I'm not saying that transparent ledgers are a bad idea, but I am saying we don't have transparent ledgers for a reason. We could have done that 15 years ago.
So talking about just tech in general, okay, quantum computing inclusive, but not only, where do you think we have not realized our full potential in the industry, in the IT and technology industry? Where could we be doing better, doing more? Where have we left opportunities on the table?
That's a great question. That's a really good question. And my answer would be, we are not advancing things fast enough, and we're advancing other things too fast and not cautiously enough. Okay. So, self-driving is a thing that should happen. Should we be testing that software out with real people? Maybe, maybe not, but we need to make progress. Going to Mars is going to be a huge challenge and people are probably going to die. Right. And, so how do you plan that out? I mean, what we're not doing is embracing this incredible infrastructure and tech and open source and all these things that we've done. I hate hearing people talk about how they can't get into tech or they can't. Part of that's on us because we haven't made it as inclusive as we should have. Right. That's a problem. We have all of this and we talk about how great it is and then we don't want anybody doing it but us, that's a problem. Like, I think the problems with tech aren't tech problems, they're social problems, right? the majority of them are social problems, right? We have some of the greatest engineers and computing power and everything in the world right now that have ever existed. But I think they're mainly social. I like to see us more inclusive. I'd like to see us do things, boring things, right? Nobody wants to do a retirement app because it's not that great, but it's really needed. Nobody wants to work for an MRI machine because it's such a small type, but we could use those, right? Like we need advances in all these other areas. And what are we advancing? We're advancing TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. But we need to be advancing real hard stuff. Kind of why I like, you know, a lot of the companies we have nowadays that are really pushing it. All the guys doing space. Good luck to all of them, right? Everybody doing autonomous driving and robotics and things like that. But there's a million other things that people use every day that we're not paying any attention to that could make the environment better, that could help us generate less waste, that could, you know, help people from getting sick, et cetera, et cetera.
Removing bias out of algorithms.
Out of AI.
You know, would.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Those are the things right now that are really getting my attention. It's like, why aren't we doing more of that? Like, I'm looking and I'm seeing a class system evolving that isn't the haves and the haves nots. It's the has access to tech or technology and doesn't. And, you know, at one of the ITU meetings years ago, Nicholas Negroponte and I got in a big beef about this. But, you know, the problem is it's not just you get internet access and, you know, great, now figure it out on your own, right? Like, we're not doing enough educational programs. We're not, you know, we spend so much money, subsidies for farmers, right? What are subsidies for farmers? It's an incentive in a lot of times to not grow too much food, but still be able to make a living. But there's still starving people in the world, right? So is that a tech problem? Is it a logistics problem? No, that is a geopolitical problem. And that's all it is, right? We can produce food. Good Lord, we're producing food in labs now, right? Beyond meats and all these. Yeah, I mean, you know, and so looking at tech from the perspective I'm looking at it from now is like, how does it actually make the world a better place, not talk about making the world a better place? I think that's the big distinction I see is where we think we're at and where we actually need to go.
Very nice. Okay, any final thoughts? Anything you want to leave the audience with before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, again, you live in the greatest time to be alive in the history of anything. You know, quantum computing is coming, robotics is coming, space travel is coming, AI is all of these things. What an incredible... Think of the 2020s as the 1920s. You could be the next Rockefeller. You could be the next JP Morgan. You could create the standard crypto instead of standard rail, right? Whatever the case is, take advantage of that because these moments are rare. And the two of us talking here, we weren't born in the perfect moment for that, right? We had some stuff. We were there with the internet. We're there. You know, we had our Commodore SX64 or whatever.
Atari,
you
please.
Literally have. Right. You literally have an infinite amount of resource at your fingertips. You can Google and learn anything you want to know. There's a million pieces of open source code and places to use it and run it. It's incredible. There's, you know, it just don't waste the opportunity you've been given at the, you know, I hear all these millennials talk about boomers ruin the world and this and that. It's like, yeah, but your world has the opportunity to be like, so incredible. And you're complaining about all this other stuff instead of appreciating what you have and using it to drive the world forward and to make the world a better place.
Worley, I cannot thank you enough for coming in and having this conversation with me. This has been absolutely incredible and also inspirational.
Well, I appreciate the time and I'm looking forward. We should follow up and do it again sometime and see whether anything in quantum computing has become more real or not.
More real and more doable. I love it. Thank you again.
Thank you.
We know you have a choice of podcasts, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to ours. If you like this episode, we'd love for you to follow, rate, and review the podcast. I'm Leon Adato for SolarWinds Tech Pod. Until next time, thanks for listening.